Let's go. One stat that shows that Joe Sloan might actually be one of the best offensive coordinators right now in the SEC. Also, we're going to talk about what should be an interesting recruiting weekend. You normally don't think that during the season because it's a bye week, but there are some interesting notes along that front. And a little bit later, did LSU actually get some injury luck from another team? Let's freaking go!
It's Power Hour LSU.
PHL, extra little bit of swag, an extra little bit of taste.
Yeah. Man, I'm headed to the field. Yeah. Terror of the tiger, I'ma always keep it real. Come every on. Team gon' get the power, it's the power. LSU with Carter, it's the power. LSU with Carter, man, I'm headed to the field.
So let's talk about old Joe Sloan. And man, I'm hearing potentially that Ole Miss will be out some key players this weekend versus South Carolina. So you're taking a look at a chart. This is from Beta Rank Football. Okay. So what I would say, and you can run yourself into major issues if you start getting too crazy into the numbers, but basically what Beta Rank Football decided to do, and for those that aren't listening, TLDR, LSU has the most explosive offense in all of college football. Let me repeat, LSU this year, according to Beta Rank Football, when it comes to explosive drives, leads all of college football, ahead of Georgia, ahead of Ohio State, ahead of Ryan Williams in the explosive Alabama offense, Texas and Arch Manning and Quinn Ewers, and even Ole Miss, right? Ole Miss is actually second in all of college football. So if you are a Joe Sloan skeptic, and look, there are a lot of things that have bothered me this year about Joe Sloan and the play calling. But if you were to tell me before the season that five games into the year, after what happened versus USC, that a first-year starter and first-year offensive coordinator would have the most explosive drive offense in all of college football, then you would take that all day, every day. You would think LSU would be a serious college football playoff contender. Now, why do I think LSU has such a huge explosive drive offense? Well, for a few things. The first is the run game has not been that great. So if the run game hasn't been that great, that means you're going to throw more, and throwing more just in and of itself leads to more explosive plays down the field. The second is, just give Garrett Nussmeier a lot of credit. He's really good at tackle football. And then the third is obviously Caden Durham, right? Caden Durham, obviously explosive game this past weekend versus South Alabama. That probably skewed our numbers to get it up to number one in all of college football. But let's not talk down of the LSU wide receivers either. Kyron Lacy has been a big play wide receiver this year for LSU. Aaron Anderson has gotten vertical on some routes. And ironically, you wouldn't have considered this before the season, but Mason Taylor has had explosive passes and receptions over the past couple of weeks, including that absolute beautiful seam route down the middle versus South Alabama. So if you're Joe Sloan, hand this to Brian Kelly. Hand this to anybody out there that says you're not doing a great job. You are not only first in explosive pass play and explosive drive rate, you're also number two in all of college football when it comes to offensive SP plus. Now, let's add some extra context in all of this. Am I saying that LSU has the best offense in college football? I am not saying that at all. I would probably say at this point it is Alabama. I would give Alabama the nod there, especially with what they did versus a Georgia team coming off a bye. Okay. Alabama, Texas is definitely up there. And then, of course, you have to include some other high power teams like Ohio State with Will Howard, Jeremiah Smith, two of the best running back duos we have seen in quite some time, with Quinshon Judkins, Travion Henderson, and a pretty solid Ohio State offensive line. I'm pretty interested to see how things go down there, but we're a little bit more SEC focused here on not only Power Hour LSU and Power Hour SEC. And like we did yesterday, we'll talk a little bit more about the SEC games going into the weekend. Now, as far as recruiting is concerned, I've gotten a lot of questions about Jakeem Thanos-Stewart. Obviously, a five-star defensive lineman that is reclassifying. That is the thumbnail image in front of you right now when you clicked on this video. And look, do I think LSU will land him eventually? I do. Five stars that are from Louisiana normally do end up picking LSU. But what I would also include that I think is very important is for us to not get too carried away with any one recruit. Y'all, this has never in our life existed. A must-get recruit. It's never existed. Now, are there must-get players? Maybe so. But we only can really claim that after the fact. Now, are there some guys that are as close to must-get as you could possibly think? Yeah, there are plenty of those guys, including Bryce Underwood in this class, who we all think is going to be pretty special. But let's not ever say that any recruit is an absolute positively must-get recruit, because it actually does two things. Number one, you are 1,000% guaranteeing that a player at any one school is going to have success. Now, are there some players that are near 1,000% guarantees? Yeah, Jeremiah Smith, anyone that had eyes knew that that kid was going to be a special Calvin Johnson-esque kind of wide receiver. But the truth is, there's no such thing, right? This stuff is so hard to predict. And on top of that, you're actually putting so much pressure on the player, right? That's the big thing. You're putting so much pressure on the player saying, hey, unless you go here, unless you make this choice, which should be 110% yours, you are crushing and taking apart the entire institution. All right, and that in and of itself is nonsensical. And that also is the antithesis of what football is all about, especially at the collegiate level. It's about the team, right? This is not the NFL, where the entire Kansas City Chiefs dynasty falls apart if Patrick Mahomes doesn't play. Okay? NFL is more player-focused. The good thing about college is we only got 1 year of Joe Burrow. We only got 1 year of Jaden Daniels. And those kids were transfers. So understand that, you know, I get a lot of Thanos questions about the reclassification and what it can do with our defensive line recruiting and what it could do with Bo Davis and Kevin Peoples' mentorship. And I get it. He is a very, very, very good defensive line prospect. But there's no such thing as a must-get recruit. And I'll be honest, you want a kid going into it thinking that the school is doing you a favor as well. You're getting the privilege of coming to LSU. Right? That is a huge privilege. Every kid dreams of this. If you don't believe it, go look at Power LSU on Twitter. Look at Xavion Thomas, who's been passed over by LSU multiple times. You see how much it means to him playing for this university. So I get it. Big recruiting weekend, though. Big, big, big recruiting weekend. All right, and we'll go through a few names here in just a second. We say hi to Normal Guy. We say hi to Gabe Davis, who wants to talk some Trey Harris. I'm definitely excited to do that. Catholic High safety Jacob Bradford committed to Houston, but he might be flipping to LSU pretty soon. LSU does have a really good safety class at this point, but it could get even better. Now, Jaden Breaker, a Georgia linebacker, flipped from South Carolina to LSU, should be visiting. Harlan Berry and JT Lindsey will be on campus this weekend, according to my guy, Kevin. Pretty excited about that. Phillip Wright, Jace Thomas, Brett Borderline, JD LaFleur, Devin Harper. Pretty excited about that. Lots of official visits this weekend. So not really any like earth-shattering name, but still some really good players you want to be a part of this recruiting class. But honestly, I understand as much as recruiting is important, up to this point. I also want this to be clear, is no matter what happens over the next couple of weeks, this recruiting class is going to be special. Okay? This was brought up to me as well. And I feel like this is very important. Now, Jared, of course, is our super most diehard viewer. From this point forward, and we've been doing this for a few weeks, but I want it to be clear. Thursday nights at 8:15, Wednesday nights at 6, Thursdays at 5. I've been going Thursday at 5 for a lot of different reasons. I have other stuff to have to do now late Thursday nights. We might go back to 8, might go back to 6, but I do have like some NFL and other college stuff that I do. Plus, I spend some time with my wife on Thursday nights because Friday nights are busy for her. So that's part of it as well. Family time. I talk to my aunts and all of that. You guys know my auntie in BR who I stay with when I'm in BR. I normally try to make it a point because everything just gets so busy. Friday is actually my most busy but least busy day because I don't produce really any content on Friday. My YouTube stuff does not do well on Friday for a lot of different reasons. Okay. Now, here's one of my super-duper diehard BFS. What's up, Nurse Court? Me, her, Jared, and some other PHLers got to hang out in Vegas. Nurse Court, thank you so much for all your support. Okay. Now, I want to have an open conversation as well tonight or this evening, today, whatever. I want to do something that is near and dear to my heart that I feel like it is very, very important to discuss. When I am critical of a player, it is never personal. It is never personal because I did get an email yesterday from someone who knew the player or one of the players that we talked about yesterday that wasn't necessarily playing well. And look, it comes along with it, right? None of it is personal. I cheer for every single player on the team. I really, really, really do. The one thing, though, that I think is sometimes understated when somebody is struggling and really hurting the team is the mental toll it has on the team when that player is struggling. Now, let me explain. If I know you're in a slump and you're just not getting out of it, well, keeping the player out there while he's still in a slump is doing him a disservice, right? That player probably needs a hard reset. Or you could bring him to the bench, see if someone else can be the answer. Because no one player is above the team. It goes back to the question or what we brought up earlier. There's no such thing as a must-get recruit. No one player is ever above the team. And I will be crystal clear on this. I will never, ever criticize a player just for the sake of criticizing the player. I would need to be deep in my convictions to say that this guy shouldn't play or we should try someone else. It is never personal. Okay. Now, do I know some of the players on the team? Yes. Do I know some of the parents of the players on this team? Yes. And they're all great. Like, I've never had a bad interaction with any player during the Brian Kelly era. I'm serious. I have not. Can't say that about, you know, every single LSU team, but every single player, every single parent has just been absolutely positively phenomenal. But one thing you'll never see me do is get personal. I will never, ever, 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 ever take a personal shot unless, and even then, unless you are doing something personally to hurt the team. Okay. So it's just not doing the right things off the field. Okay. But nothing is ever personal when I say this guy should be moved or whatever. Okay. Anyone that knows me knows I am, I'm a big hard. I'm not really the hot take guy. I do have hot takes. I do have bold takes, some that are right, some that are wrong, but it's never personal. It's never, ever, ever personal. And I think sometimes we can be a little too soft with the actuality of where we are. because also in the email that was sent to me, Hell said, hey, I heard you before the season saying that you didn't think we were going to be very good on the defense. And that's not necessarily what I said. I said, look, I think Blake Baker's going to get our unit better coached, which he has up to this point. But at the same time, it's not quite the personnel we need to be successful and win SEC championships. Now, how do I know that? Well, because we see what actual personnels look like on championship teams. You know, one thing that's just kind of overstated were the defensive struggles of 2019 LSU. Y'all, that defense was really good. I mean, that defense was really good towards the end of the season, okay? Now, on that team, only one of those players have been like a special player in the NFL, but there are quite a few players from that team that are still in the NFL. You know, this wasn't really talked about enough, but Neil Farrell played a snap in the Super Bowl last year. He was our backup DT or 4i in the Dave Aranda tight front. You know, that defense was loaded. That defense was very deep. They were good. They were really freaking good. And a lot of those guys are still in the league. Now, two will probably only be superstars. That's Stingley. And right now, Patrick Queen, of course, is coming off the Pro Bowl. All right. But that unit was good. Healy good. Okay. Nurse Court asks, will I be at the game, the Ole Miss game? So I've actually been offered tickets to go. I don't know if I'm going to make it, though. Here's the thing about the Ole Miss game this weekend, and this will come off as bad LSU fan, but, you know, I'm going to give you an honest opinion. As much as I love LSU Ole Miss, and as much as I hate that I missed the one last year in Oxford, which was legendary, and the one 2 years ago was also pretty freaking legendary, okay? As much as I love those games and these matchups, and as much as I love Lane Kiffin, the hard part about going to the Ole Miss game is you're going to miss all the other great games. You're going to miss all the other great games. It is a legendary weekend in college football. They're already hyping it up as one of the best college football weekends of all time. And it's not just the SEC. I'll pull it up here really quickly. Now, this is not me deterring you from going to the game, but it's just a fact of the matter, okay? So you do get Alabama, South Carolina, which probably won't be that close, but you get Florida and Tennessee. That game is always interesting. And then on top of that, you get Georgia, Mississippi State, boring. But you get Texas, Oklahoma. And that's one I really want to watch. Now, I understand that game is in the morning, and Texas, Oklahoma is at night. But you guys know, when I'm going to an LSU football game, and it's beautiful weather, which it will be because it never rains in Tiger Stadium, I want to get out and tailgate. I like to schmooze. I like to go out into the world, shake hands, kiss babies. Okay. Also that weekend, we get Ohio State and Oregon, which will be kicking off at the same time. You also get Penn State and USC. And on top of that, for a late night come home, work sucks, I know, Blink 182 matchup, Kansas State versus Colorado. I understand the Blink 182 reference made absolutely positively no sense, but Kansas State, Colorado is going to be marquee. Colorado will probably be ranked by then. Kansas State has a good young quarterback in Avery Johnson. That game is going to be litty, and I don't want to miss that one either. So Nurse Court, unfortunately, I will not be there. Looking at that chart just gave you an aneurysm. Huh? A nurse corps does say every tailgate I go has 1 to 4 TVs with all the other ones. Yeah, and you're right. All right. But here's one thing that I struggle with at college football games. And, you know, I've been to tailgates where you're also there. I've been to plenty of PHLers tailgates. All right. I just get to talking to people. I work from home. So funny story today. I have a neighbor who graduated from LSU. He was, I think, a Pike or something like that in like the 70s. And he is the godfather of my best friend. All right. So I have lived in my neighborhood for 4 years and I have never seen him. He literally lives like from my house to his, it's probably a walk from Tiger Stadium to the Indian Mounds. Like it's not far at all. I've never seen him in 4 years. It is amazing how insulated our neighborhoods are now. And I just saw him today. I never get to see people. So when I'm actually in a tailgate, I can always go watch college football. But I mostly like to talk to people. Something else that happens to me when I go to games is I am a big believer in doing things when you're in an area that you can't do at home. So, example, I know whenever I go to a college football game, the first thing I'm going to do when I get home is rewatch the game. So when I am at the game, I'm normally filming the game from an all 22 angle, but I'm also looking at the sideline. I'm looking at things that I cannot see. I'm seeing how fans react. I'm seeing how the experience is, right? So why would I go to a tailgate to sit and watch games when I can learn how to fry a turducken, which obviously happens in a tailgate? One time there was a very competitive, and I wish Samuel was in here. There is a very competitive ending to a top 25 college football matchup. I think it was Clemson and Florida State last year. And obviously I need to watch that game. You know, as a college football commentator, you want to know what actually happens in that game. I didn't watch a single second of the overtime because I was learning, and I'm a terrible cook. I was learning how to stuff an alligator. Okay. Now I'm a man of many likes and food is one of my favorite things. I love to eat. I'm chubby. All right. Type Y for yes. Type N for no. If you're chubby in the chat, where are my fellow chubsters? All right. Ask Steve. Steve knows to not invite me to his tailgate ever because I eat all their food. The problem. Okay. There you go, Gabe. We're husky. The problem is I want to know how this stuff works. so that's why I don't really get watching college football at a tailgate. Now, if it's close and it's at the end of the game, sure, I want to watch and get that rush, live sports. I'm not saying it's not fun watching a game with all your people at a tent. And you're getting ready to walk into the cathedral of college football to watch actual football in person. I'm not saying that that's not fun. I'm just saying I could do that at home. When I'm at a tailgate, I want to talk. I want to drink. I want to play beer pong. And obviously, one of my favorite things to do is going to LSU games. And, you know, I do get stopped, and it's cool. It's awesome. It's humbling. And like I said, if you see me, I will be at the LSU-Arkansas game in Fayetteville. If you see me, stop me. I'm going to have a bunch of giveaways. Don't forget the Dax. Steve's tailgates are always crazy. Jared says, I look 8 months pregnant, but everything else is normal for person. That sounds like me. So, yeah. Now, next thing. See, I blame LA Mom for getting me on this tailgate topic. Y'all blame LA mom. Nurse court. Y'all blame nurse court. She said she's only going to make the OU game after this one. You're not going to Alabama? See, now I'm more disappointed in you, nurse court. You can't go to Ole Miss and not go to Alabama. Come on. Now, coming up. Is the Ole Miss South Carolina game going to be a rocky data point? Could it be a game where we don't learn anything at all about Ole Miss? It could. I'll tell you why after this.
I think joy and happiness and doing things you like is important.
My favorite thing is sports cards. When I'm not on YouTube, I am building my collection. And when I started, I wish there was a sports card strategy show.
He wasn't necessarily going to be a first round pick before all this Heisman buzz. Now they're talking about him being a top five pick.
Paul Hickey and the team at nooffseason.com personally helped build my Jaden Daniels collection, and they're looking to do the same for you. Just check them out on social media or nooffseason.com. Book your 360 spin booth experience today with Zion Imaging. Yes, that's my buddy Jaron Thomas, who started this venture years ago. And look at the smiles on these faces. This state-of-the-art photo booth is so incredible. I work in the wedding and event industry, and anytime I see a 360 photo booth, it takes your event, whether it's a reunion, a wedding, a conference, no matter what it is, it takes it to another level. Give them a follow on Facebook. Book them today. There is a special deal going on now where you can get up to 40% off. This is all the info. Give them a call today, 318-469-4265, or go to Zion Imaging. That's XYANImaging.com. Home is where the heart is, and our friends at NOPOD Roofing really takes that to heart. 504-810-8744. Give them a call today for all of your roofing needs. And one of my favorite things about NOPOD Roofing is their versatility. They not only do roofing, they do siding, they do painting, they do tree removal, fencing, anything home improvement. Our friends at NOPOD will get you straight. Give them a call today at 504-810-8744 and let them know PHL and Carter the Power sent you. We never overpromise and always overdeliver with NOPOD, baby. Let's go. Alrighty, so I'm about to show you something that is absolutely, positively crazy. Bang, 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 bang. This is the Ole Miss injury report versus South Carolina. Logan Diggs has been out all season. Cam East out. Devin Price out. All right, but the key guys that are questionable are all right here in the middle. Jaden Williams is their starting left tackle, doubtful. Matt Jones, questionable. Princely, their best pass rusher, questionable. Micah Davis, questionable. TJ Dottery, Lewis Moore. But Trey Harris is the best player on this team. He had 15 targets. Now, they brought in Juice Wells from South Carolina via the transfer portal. And guess what? He's done nothing up to this point. Trey Harris is the guy. They force feed him. Henry Parrish is their best running back, questionable. J.J. Pegues, questionable. Star DT for them. Brandon Turnage, transfer corner from Tennessee. He's not that good, but he's probable. Trey Amos is good, transfer from Alabama, and UL Lafayette from Louisiana, probable. Now, is Lane playing chess, not checkers, putting all these names on the injury report to keep South Carolina at bay? Maybe so. And keep them guessing. Because you take a look at South Carolina's injury report. Not as crazy. Or is it? Ja'Kai Moore, good offensive lineman for him. Out. Raheem Sanders, the guy who ran all over us. Questionable. And Lenore Sellers, their star quarterback. Questionable. Now, star is a generous word in this situation. Jared, thank you for the super chat. Cherry Berry, what's good? Sherry wants to go to Ole Miss. Okay. Sherry, the legend. Well, I would think you and the husband will go to the Bama game. But as Gabe points out, Trey Harris has not been stopped. Now, I'll tell you this, and this might sound like hyperbole, but Trey Harris is on Brian Thomas Jr. and Malik Nabers' level. Now, is he as good as Malik? Probably not. He's probably like kind of in the middle. But he's so damn good, y'all. Like, he is so good. He is the best wide receiver we will play on our schedule. Now, we couldn't stop USC's receivers. Now, they're good. USC's receivers are good. But UCLA's receivers had success versus us. So, Trey Harris's injury status going into not only this weekend, but the next is going to be very interesting. Now, one thing that is working in LSU's favor here is you cannot afford to lose this game if you want to go to the college football playoff. A home loss to Kentucky is obviously pretty bad. In theory, you can lose the South Carolina game and win out, and Ole Miss is getting in. But, y'all, do I really think Trey Harris is going to miss this game? I would be shocked. I would be shocked. I think some of the reason why you don't want to go to a game with a Bama husband, because I got to do a split household for the Arkansas game. I think part of it is that you don't want to get like chastised, like because he'll be wearing red, you'll be wearing purple. But there you go. Now, this is a good point. Got to get back to scoring 49 points. Jared, you get to pick the next topic. Thank you so much. Appreciate your friendship. Jared and I had a pretty fun phone call. Now, let's go to James here. What about Walker Howard? I wasn't going to talk about him, James. I really wasn't. Because this isn't a victory lap or anything like that. So Walker Howard transfers from LSU to Ole Miss to be the heir apparent to Jackson Dart. And he got passed up this year by Austin Simmons. Now, Austin Simmons is kind of like a Colin Hurley type of quarterback in that they early enrolled a class ahead. So Austin Simmons is young, and he is in year two, and he's the number two quarterback, at least I believe he is a number two quarterback. Walker Howard could be number two. I don't know. You tell me. I don't keep up with the day-to-day Ole Miss quarterback rotation, and Jackson Dart has been so reliable. But Walker Howard's career is not gone according to plan. And that's why it is a major, major, major risk going anywhere where playing time is not guaranteed. You are really betting on yourself. So in a way, I commend Walker Howard for trying to battle it out. But you went to Ole Miss. I don't feel bad for Howard. Don't go to Ole Miss as an LSU legacy, says Jaren. So, yeah, I mean, it is what it is at this point. I still think Walker Howard's good. I do. I think, I mean, he would start at a lot of schools right now. But I will share one thing. And I'm going to get on this rant next week multiple times. And I want this to be a message to Brian Kelly, because guess what? Doing this would greatly improve our chances of winning this game versus Ole Miss. Okay. And this is very key. Don't fake injuries. Don't fake injuries. Y'all, I just don't do that. I don't get down with the fake injury stuff. Well, Carter, what if Ole Miss does it? We need to be able to do it to keep up because it is such a big advantage. I don't care. All right? This is coming from someone that grew up as a soccer fan in America, where all my non-soccer buddies would say, I don't like soccer because they flop. Or the correct soccer term for it or football term for it is dive. I don't like soccer because of that. And a lot of people say the same thing about the NBA. I don't like LeBron because he flops. I don't like James Harden or Embiid because they flop. I don't like it. Y'all, faking an injury is flopping. And I couldn't count how many times Ole Miss did it this past week versus Kentucky. And bam, player was okay. Now, why do I bring this up? Why do I bring this up? Well, it's because of the Ole Miss injury report. All right, I'll pull it back up for you. Okay. Ole Miss has this ridiculous injury report. I'll be honest. Most injury reports aren't this extensive. Like, this is an obscene amount of players being hurt. Now, could it be that all these players are hurt? Yeah. The entire Oklahoma Sooners wide receiver room is hurt. Literally every single one of them is hurt. So, yeah, injuries can pile up like this. But there is a piece of me. If you're going to fake an injury in an actual game, I can also see a world where you're faking an injury for the injury report. Now, why do I say that? Well, what if the SEC retroactively decides, hey, Lane, we saw what happened. You're faking all those injuries. And guys are just coming right back in the next play. Lane will say, well, you know what? No, they were injured. They were banged up. It makes sense that they were hurt going into the game. It would make sense that they would fall out and hurt their leg or whatever. So I think some of that could be going on because a lot of the players that were on that injury report were the ones that were falling down. I'm just saying. Matt Jones did it. He's on the injury report. Looked fine to me in this past game. Trey Amos did it. He was on the injury report. Looked fine to me. Princely did it. Looked fine to me. Came right back in. Now they're on the injury report. They got hurt between now and then. Please. Please. Now, I'll also say this. LSU's dealing with some injuries. Okay? You're dealing with some players that are banged up right now, and they're hopeful to get a Chris Hilton back and a few other names. We'll hopefully get rested up during this bye week to get ready for this game. Some of which got nicked up versus Alabama and UCLA, and they played through it, and now, you know, they're deciding, do we want to give them just 1 week rest or do we want to give them 2 weeks rest? All right. That's funny. 5A Adam says soccer is boring when his logo looks like the English Premier League logo. Okay? I can't stand the fake injuries, y'all. I can't do it. It's nonsense. It's malarkey. And the funny thing about it is, you would think it would be the other way around, where the defense at Ole Miss is playing will fake injuries because Ole Miss likes to go fast. Now, how do you fix the fake injury problem? How do you fix it? Well, one thing you can do is if you get hurt, you have to sit out the rest of the drive. You have to sit out the rest of the drive. That's the new rule. That will nip this in the bud really quickly. If your helmet falls off, you can come back in next play. That's a little bit different because we're not stopping the action. You got to get off the field when your helmet falls off. This is interesting from Tony Guidry. He says, what if Dart goes down against South Carolina and Howard starts against LSU? So I think the better question, Tony, would be how many times has Ole Miss faced a quarterback that was once theirs? Right? We almost got the Max Johnson matchup last year. I'm trying to think. Former LSU QBs that we've played. But like we said earlier, I don't think Walker Howard is second string. I think Simmons is the guy. Let's see. Now, I will talk about really quickly the most interesting recruiting story that will happen over the next couple of years. It'll be the 2027 quarterback class. All right, I'll just lay the land of it here. So there's three guys you got to look out for. So the five-star number one overall quarterback is Elijah Havens, who is in Baton Rouge, basically. So that's right in our own backyard. And then you have Colton Nussmeier at Marcus High School, where, of course, Garrett played. And, of course, that's Garrett's younger brother, who will be a middle-tier top 100 four-star. And then you have Trent Seaborn, who is another top 100 QB, who Joe Sloan likes a lot. Now, let's talk about the here and now. Max Johnson was underrated. I think so. I think that's fair. He wasn't bad, but he wasn't good. I wouldn't say anyone would think he was great. But, you know, the thing that people do with quarterbacks that don't turn out to be great is they don't understand the history of LSU quarterbacks of the modern era. There is one deciding factor. One deciding factor has determined whether or not you were a good quarterback of the modern era. From the Nick Saban era on, the one deciding factor was age. All right? Every single LSU quarterback that started year three or later in their development as the full-time LSU starter was a successful quarterback. Every single one of them. And every single quarterback that we would deem as not great had to become a full-time starter in year one or year two. Okay? Now, that doesn't mean that in the future that year one and year two starters at quarterback can't be great. And that doesn't mean that just because you're a year three, year four, year five guy that you're an automatic lock to be great. Right, it's not what I'm saying at all. It's just that's been the case at LSU. And the reason why I'm kind of protective of that trend is because, well, you know, there are other young quarterbacks at other schools that have done well, right? Bryce Young won a Heisman. Caleb Williams won a Heisman. Trevor Lawrence was good. So on and so on and so on, right? But more often than not, the best quarterbacks at college football are year three, year four, year five, year six, okay? Michael, that would be Greg Penn. Yeah, Max did not have, like, crazy high school numbers either.
He didn't.
But Max and Jake Johnson, same high school as the Weeks brothers.
Okani in Georgia.
Now, here's what we're going to do. In the next 5 to 10 minutes, we'll answer as many questions as we possibly can. If you super chat, we'll keep it going.
And yeah, this has been a fun Thursday live stream.
Lots of energy in the chat right now. Falcons Buccaneers tonight. Who do you want to win that game? I can make a case that you want the Falcons to actually win that game because the Buccaneers are actually good. They've actually played well this year. The Falcons have not played well this year. Yeah, Mark deserves an honesty chance. You know, I don't hate Mark Stoops at all. I'm glad he's actually coaching really well this year.
He's been the best coach in the SEC over the past couple weeks.
I mean, I don't think there's any doubt about that. Hey, look, I've always said this. Everything that I've ever said about Mark Stoops has no malice towards him. I just have never understood why people overhyped him. But this year, he's been the best head coach, arguably, in the entire SEC. Epic Shorty, hope you're feeling better, my brother. Good to see you. He's finally back. Let's go. Now, I'll tell you a crazy story. Actually, I can't tell the story publicly just yet because it's like something crazy that could happen in the next couple of weeks. But what I will tell you is never, ever, ever underestimate the power of your presence, right? Never underestimate the effect that you can have on others, right? And believe it or not, this was actually someone that had a big effect on me, okay? A lot of cool things are definitely going down in my life, and hopefully that translates into more money. But still, it's been a crazy first month here. Now I see a few of you say, "Hey, it's shocking that we're already." I saw Mick say this.
It's shocking we're already five games into the season. So that sucks. But you should also celebrate that. Okay. Celebrate the fact that we're already halfway through it. Because I'll tell you this. I don't even watch Major League Baseball anymore. Don't even watch it. It's hard for me to justifiably get excited about the playoffs. Because you then, like, fans are so much smarter now. They're like, then what the hell did we play a full 162 for? You know, baseball fans, unless you're a super diehard, every last pitch counts and matters, you're ready for the playoffs at the All-Star break. Same thing with basketball. Same thing with the NHL. Seasons are just way too long. Celebrate the scarcity in college football. Celebrate it. That's why I hate when players quit the team and enter the portal 3 weeks into the season. So you move cross country to be a part of a team. Just for you to then quit on that team? Well, they're doing what's best for themselves, getting more NIL or whatever. Okay. Yeah, that's the point of joining a team. Right? And that's the point of joining a team. I don't care if you enter the portal after the season. Pegasus says, Carter, I saw Lacey mentioned in a PFF draft pod, and with Anderson showing out and Daniels and Thomas possibly gone, can you do a stay-go maybe for the wide receiver room next season? Kyren Lacey's gone. CJ Daniels is definitely gone. He doesn't have any more eligibility. Aaron Anderson and Xavion Thomas, you know, they're both going to be kind of fringe guys. I don't think Xavion's going to have the volume to make that leap next year. So I think both of these guys could come back for their senior seasons, both class of 2021. And I think Aaron actually has 2 years after this left. I think Aaron Anderson's back next year. And then as far as stay go, maybe, you know, so much of this is going to come down to how you view Harlan Berry, right? If you view Harlan Berry as a wide receiver or a slot guy, then you'll be fine. But LSU's got other good receivers in this class. Derek Meadows, Teron Francis, and so on and so on. So can a true freshman come in and step in right away? Yeah, but also I think LSU will very much be in the portal to go get a guy at that position next year. Because CJ Daniels has lifted our room in a major way. Okay? It's funny. You know, I talked about the Chris Hilton thing. And I released a tweet earlier today about Chris Hilton, but I tweeted out something positive about Chris. All right, you guys know the Chris Hilton story that happened to me last week. People took something I said negative when it wasn't negative at all. I tweet something positive, and guess what everyone's saying to me now? Why do we care about Chris Hilton? I was just making a comment in passing. I was like, I just wanted to be healthy. I just wanted to have some clarity. But that's just me. That's just me. That's just me. All right. Let's take a look at the poll question. How'd you grade Joe Sloan up to this point? 59% of you say B. I'm shocked. I think I did some convincing. He deserves an A. I'm kidding. I don't think he would tell you he deserves an A. All right, get another. God, wow. I think this guy played a lot in the Colorado game. Xavier Townsend, a wide receiver for UCF, quits on the team. I mean, he's getting targets. He's playing. Lose one game to Colorado, quit the team. Marshawn Lynch, the guest picker this weekend. Let's go. All right, y'all. That'll do it for me. Appreciate our top and only super chatter of the night, Mr. Jared Addison. Thank you so freaking much. Good to have you back, George. No live stream until Sunday night. We'll be live. We'll see you then. It is Power Out LSU Bum. And tonight, it's a Taco Thursday. Let's freaking go. Let's go.